Okay, so we want to open the floor to any of you out there who are watching and just want to see what questions you have about anything. You know, the show is into the multiverse, so I expect there'll probably be some questions regarding quantum physics, but you can ask anything, and if we don't know it, then we'll just say we don't know, or we'll just ignore your question. but because there are a lot of people, so and we want to give some more shout outs. The Unseen World is saying hi and happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, William Matthews and Mark. Happy Thanksgiving, both of you. I always wondered what Thanksgiving was for. I'm from the UK. Yeah. Well, there you go. Now you know. and again, it is a really rich history, and there's a lot more to it that people should look into. I mean, it doesn't only have to be Thanksgiving where we can look into this stuff. We got Avago saying that it's 7:30 a.m. Friday morning right now. Wow, you must be like on the other side of the world or something. It's 3:30 p.m. our time. She's enjoying her coffee, or he. I'm not sure.
I'm enjoying my afternoon cup of coffee.
Yes, I have a cup of coffee and a cup of water, so I'm happy too. Thanks, guys. New Zealand here. Are you ever going to do a show on Bigfoot? That is that's a good question. Yeah, well, we have talked with J.C. Johnson about possibly Skyping with him. And then also, his name is escaping me, Moorhead. He wrote the Quantum Bigfoot. And I thought I forget his first name. But Ronald, I think. Is it Ronald Moorhead? But I've had brief contact with him a few months ago, when his book, the Quantum Bigfoot, came out, because quantum physics and Bigfoot, that sounds really interesting, and I'm interested in that. He said he'd be open to doing an interview, so yeah, I think eventually we probably will do one, or at least one, or maybe a few shows on that. It's an interesting topic. I think there's more than more to it than it just being an animal, but you know, who knows. So let's see. Somebody else is asking, where does today's lie that Thanksgiving was followed the next day by a massacre come from? Any ideas?
Ooh.
I don't want to lay blame on anybody or any group or political affiliation.
Okay.
I usually see a lot of that stuff coming from the left, you know.
Yeah.
if you're speaking politically. I don't know where it originated or really what the whole story behind it is. Again, I haven't looked really too deeply into all the facets of the history, because again, the history is really rich. But that is a good question, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question for sure.
Yes. So, who else? Does anybody else have any questions out there? We'll give out a few more shout-outs while we wait for people. We got Luther out there saying greetings and happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Luther. To Derek Brooks, thank you for watching. Unseen World is saying awesome. Yes, we try. We try our best.
We do. We like being awesome.
Got somebody else saying that they love our channel. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We love you too.
Yes, we do. I grew up in the city, and that was very prompted. Thank you. You're very welcome. We got hello from New Zealand. Hello. I enjoyed your latest show on all are all aliens demons. Are you going to do one on all ghosts demons?
Oh.
That would be a good topic too. Something on about ghosts. Is there a difference between ghosts and demons? And I actually think that there is. I didn't used to think that, because I grew up thinking that ghosts and demons are probably the same thing. And I think sometimes they could be. I think sometimes a demon or a familiar spirit can pose as somebody's deceased loved one. But there does seem to be some scriptural evidence, at least to give some credibility to the idea that ghosts could just be ghosts. Like, some of them could just be ghosts. You know, for one thing, one of the first things that the disciples said when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost.
They thought he was
a ghost. There's another point where Peter escapes out of prison, and he's like knocking on the door on the window, and they're saying, oh, that's just his angel, which I don't know what that's all about. Like, they see somebody that looks like Peter. Well, Peter's in jail. That's just his angel, because that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's tied with the doppelganger thing. Who knows?
That might, yeah.
And then, of course, there's the Witch of Endor and that, mm-hmm. that whole situation. Yeah. And, you know, there's two arguments there. Was it a demon posing as Saul, or was it actually...
Saul is the king, honey. You're talking about...
Samuel, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Posing as Samuel, or was it actually him? I think it was probably actually him.
Yeah, because I grew up with the idea being taught that it was actually Samuel because the witch was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she does this all the time, and she knows right. that she calls for demons, and she knows that. But when she saw who it actually was, she was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so. I mean, Saul was already there. She thought she was going to be beheaded anyway and killed for right. witchcraft. But when she did her arcane magics, it wasn't really her bringing him forth. You know, God allowed it.
God allowed it.
It wasn't her, and that's what scared her.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, too, is I don't think God would command us not to do something that's already impossible anyway. You know,
he says, don't talk to the dead. You're not supposed to talk to the dead. So if it was impossible to talk to the dead, mm-hmm. do you think that commandment would be there?
Right.
So yes. I do think that there is some merit there that, you know, maybe there is a difference.
All right. Unseed World is saying, yeah, you should unleash Mike Heiser on that one. I agree. Mike Heiser is way more well-versed in this area than I am. And actually, that would be a good topic to have him come back out and talk about. He did a while ago, he did a really good interview on, I don't remember if it was Coast to Coast or if it was Art Bell, or maybe it was when Art Bell was on Coast to Coast. I don't know, but he did one on just the topic of ghosts. It was about 3 hours long. It was really well done, and he had a lot of cool stuff to say. I think that's still on, I think that's still on YouTube. Okay, we got another question. What about the holographic universe theory? There's a couple. There's a couple different ideas that use that term. So one of them is kind of what Chuck Missler talked yes. about, and I don't think Chuck is necessarily taking a really literal approach, even though when he talks about it, it sort of sounds like he is. Like basically, what Chuck says is Chuck Missler says is, you know, the way that a holograph. Or a hologram or whatever works is you shine light through a two-dimensional surface and it makes a three-dimensional projection. Mm-hmm. And then, so his idea is maybe it's like that for us. I don't think he's literally saying that somewhere out there there's a two-dimensional surface that God's light is shining through. But I think he might be using that as an example that maybe it's something like that, right. Something similar to that. Now, in physics, there's this idea, there's a similar idea, but it's used totally as just a metaphor, and there's nothing literal about it. And it's an interesting idea. Now, there's another one that will also use that term, and it talks more about this idea of, are we living in a simulation? And you know, Chuck Missler talks a little bit about that, too. And I think yes and no. From the physics side of it, usually when physicists talk about that, they see reality as less real than they thought before they considered the simulation hypothesis. So, you know, they live out their lives, everything seems real, everything's good, and then they somehow learn about the simulation idea, and they think, oh, this is a simulation, this is all fake, I'm living in a video game. This isn't real anymore.
And they turn into the Matrix, and
yeah.
Like, the Matrix is actually like a documentary about everybody's life, and it's real. Some people just take it way too far.
I don't
believe this is the Matrix, okay? No, I believe this is a real universe.
Yeah, it's we kind of, so there's that approach, there's that outlook. Ours, what I like about it is the idea that within this the simulation hypothesis, there's more to reality than what you can see and feel. I do agree with that. I mean, everybody that's a Christian
absolutely.
Should agree with that.
Definitely.
And
there's more to it.
But our idea, when we started looking into you know, what physics describes as extra dimensions, and then you compare that with Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, which seems to say that in some kind of sense we're already seated with Christ. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to be a metaphor because it's using really literal language, and it's using past tense language, like this is something that had already happened. Taking all that into account, my kind of version of the simulation hypothesis that I like and I think is more accurate is I do believe that there are more spatial dimensions, mm-hmm. probably even more temporal dimensions, you know, space and time, sure. than the 3 plus 1 or the 4 that we live in if you count time. So in that sense, that doesn't make me look at creation as any less real. It makes me think that there's something even more real out there. So it doesn't diminish creation as we understand it. It only kind of accentuates reality that might be out there, mm-hmm. and in like a super physical sense. Usually when we think about the immaterial or the supernatural, we sort of think of it as wispy and ethereal. And I don't think that's right. I think it's actually way more physical than this is. Just like a two-dimensional plane would be less physical than a three-dimensional, you know, cube or whatever. Mm-hmm. But still, it's not any less real because of that. Yeah. So I kind of like that idea. And I'm interested in the idea that if we're, in a sense, already in heaven in some way. Now, I don't know how that works, because that would be in eternity, which is outside of time. We're in time now, and I could see how you could be outside of time and in time at the same time, but again, then there's a whole deal with consciousness, and our consciousness is clearly here right now. So there's a lot of different variables to weigh out, but that's what I like.
It's discussions about this sometimes until like 1 a.m, and then we realize maybe we should go to bed because we gotta work
tomorrow. Yeah,
let's be responsible, and we have 3 kids.
Yeah,
and they like to be up before the break of dawn because they're crazy.
Yeah, so there are versions of, and then Electric Universe Theory has a whole thing with the holographic universe that I don't understand that side of it, because I don't really understand Electric Universe. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's wrong, I just don't understand it. Because it seems like to me, Electric Universe is just a different interpretation on every experiment that's already been done, which is fine, but then when you ask for experimental data, it's experiments that have already been done to prove, like, Einsteinian things. So it's just, to me, it seems like it's just another interpretation, and some of it might even make more sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's stuff that Barry Setterfield and what's his name, Lambert Dolphin have said that I think make more sense, even mathematically, but I'm not a mathematician. She's more of a mathematician than I am.
I love math.
So there
math
might,
and numbers.
Yeah, so there might be some credence with that. I wish there was one experiment or one something that shows more favor to Electric Universe than the Einsteinian way of looking at things, and without it being just another interpretation of something that's already mm-hmm. been done. But I appreciate both views. I'm more on the Einstein side. I don't reject Electric Universe. I think it's interesting. I just, for me personally, I don't think there's enough there for me to really jump headfirst into it just yet. Do we ever take much flack for not taking a traditional biblical view in some things? I think you guys are great for pushing the envelope and getting people thinking. Yes, we actually get that a lot. And one of the biggest points of ministry, I think, I know for myself, have been called to, and I think her too, is beyond all the quantum physics stuff, beyond the aliens, demons, ghosts, you know, all the weird stuff that we kind of talk about, beyond all that, it's so important to learn how to love one another despite our differences. Actually, even because of our differences, you know, we should appreciate and love each other.
That's definitely a big thing. I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
One thing I was often really praying about, because there's a lot of flack that we get sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't hurt so much from people you don't know. When you read it on a computer screen, it's like, I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't really care what you have to type out. Like when it's negative, okay? When it's your friends or somebody you feel like you're close to, then it does hurt a little bit more.
No.
But my thing is, I was really praying about it because of kind of like the differences of people and doctrine or certain beliefs. I sometimes have gone back and forth, like wondering, am I too soft? Should I be like, what does God want me to do about these things? And then it just, in a way, kind of spoke to my heart about that very thing. Like, you know people by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing that comes up a lot. And you'll know everybody by their fruit. If they're bitter and they're not, you know, God is not going to lay things on their heart. Or they won't hear it, I should say. Not that he won't try. He will try. But they won't hear it. They won't see it. And so I was thinking, okay, so a lot of these things that people are hardcore on, these different beliefs or these different doctrines, they don't take that love that Josh was talking about, that he has spoken about in the past. They don't take that into, they don't accept that into their life. So mm-hmm. their hearts are hardened. And it's one thing that God has really laid on my heart the past couple of days, even more so. Because for how often I've gone back and forth wondering, okay, is there something wrong with how I view things? And then finally, you know, I got my answer. My answer is no. You know, I'm not looking at things the wrong way because I want to be open to what God has to say, what the Holy Spirit has to do, and what he has to lay on my heart. So that is my, that's my little spiel.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think just any Christian is going to get flack sometimes, you know, but I think it's how we decide to handle it that really makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And can even make a difference in the person's life who's trying to give you flack. Like if somebody's open for discussion, for example, if they just have a question or mm-hmm. even if they're being critical, but in a constructive way or yeah. you know, not just in a mean, insulting, vindictive way, but if they're like, you know, sometimes we'll get comments and stuff like, hey, you know, I really didn't know where you're coming from on this. You know, can you explain that further? And then I love that stuff because then it's a dialogue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we say this on the show all the time. Nobody has to agree with anything. Like,
no.
And that's why we have, because some people raise some questions about Gary Bates. You know, we've had sure. Michael Heiser on, and we've had Gary Bates on, we've had L.A. Marzulli on, and, you know, they all kind of take different approaches to the alien question. And, well, of course we're going to have them all on, because it's a very mysterious subject, and nobody knows for sure. And I want to know what each point is, how they arrived at their point, and then I want to hold my own view up to scrutiny based on those points.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things that we can do as Christians, and it helps us create bonds with each other that go beyond our differences in opinion. You know, learning to disagree with somebody respectfully and in a healthy way. I mean, some of the most enlightening conversations I've ever had in my life have been with people who know how to disagree. Respectfully, you know, it's a really good thing to do. Her and I have disagreed on lots of things, but I don't think we've ever fought about theology.
No.
It's never come into question. Well, how are you going to raise your kids if you don't even agree on, you know, age of the earth or something? You know, I'm just like pulling a topic.
Right.
Well, we just tell them the truth. Look, you know, mom thinks this, dad thinks this. We don't really know, but you can believe what you want based on the evidence that you want. I'm more interested in teaching our kids and really our audience. Anybody who needs it, teaching them how to think critically, how to have opinions but respect other opinions, and how to know the difference between a fruitful conversation and an unfruitful one. Because there are people who will just blast you because, you know, you've got a difference in opinion and they think you're wrong and they think that you're you know, steeped in untruth and deception or whatever. You can't really have a conversation with those people, and they're not worth your time.
No, they're not.
Those people should be prayed for because I don't think that they're beyond hope or anything, but I don't think when you're in that mindset, I don't think that person can really be reasoned with.
Right.
Speaking from personal experience, because I used to be like that years and years and years ago in my late teens, early 20s. So I kind of get that mindset. And when you're in that, it really takes an act of God to pull you out of it. That's what happened with me. Long story for another day. But, okay, so we got another question. Ruth was the great-grandmother of David, a Gentile who entered into the line of Christ. She was a high priestess in the worship of false gods. Question, was her human genetics unadulterated? I don't know that genetics – well, for one thing, there's no way to know for sure what her genetics were because they didn't keep records of that sort of thing back then. There's really no way to know. But if she's in the – I don't think genetics even have to play a part in that whole story at all. If she's, you know, in the line of Christ or whatever, I'm sure she's fine. but again, and if she wasn't, it would all have to do with the actual spiritual state of the person. I don't think genetics play as big of a role as sometimes we might think that they do. And for those not familiar with that discussion, it's not a racial thing. It goes into this idea about Nephilim and the sons of God and, you know, angelic genetics into the human bloodstream. And it's a whole other deal. But I don't think that plays any major role. Definitely not now. But, you know, there might have been a small role after the flood. with that, but I don't think that that, you know, by that time, I don't think that that would have been any kind of issue from a salvational point. Okay, you guys are awesome. Thank you. You're awesome too. I love Electric Universe as Michael. Awesome. That's really cool. All right.
Thank you to you that said I look pretty today.
Oh, yeah. I rolled right by that. Yeah. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Very sweet of you. Okay, James is saying the first robot in the world to be recognized with a citizenship, Sophia. From a fringe point of view, it struck me that that name choice is quite interesting. I agree with you, James, because of the whole Gnostic, the Sophia, the Gnostic idea that it was the Sophia or Sophia that brought, you know, the true light to humanity. And if we can just awaken to this, then we'll know. And
New Agey.
That's what New Age is built on, Gnosticism.
Of course.
But that's a really good point. I noticed that as well. And it's also interesting that it was Saudi Arabia that she's the first citizen of. But she, it. See, it's even got me fooled. Is time only relevant on our Earth, considering testimonies such as those of Henry Groover or other theories of time changing in space? Is Earth the time clock in this dimension? Thanks. I don't know. And that's something that I've been wondering a lot, too, because I backtrack it. So in three dimensions of space, you know, we are all ticking in the same time. You know, time works the same unless you're like going like the speed of light or something. Then it's different. You know, time changes depending how fast you're going and things like that. But basically, everything's kind of, time works the way it works. Now, if you only consider two dimensions. Our three-dimensional reality is made up of two-dimensional planes stacked up on each other, and each two-dimensional plane is a Planck length in height. And people might think, well, how can a two-dimensional plane have any kind of height at all? Actually, in physics, it's allowed to have a Planck length. That would be technically the width of a two-dimensional plane, which sounds ridiculous. But think about a line. A line is one-dimensional. Its thickness is also the Planck length. A point is a Planck length all the way around. Can you deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
and our son is begging for attention right now, and it's making it hard for me to think. But I kind of think of our reality in the same way. You know, we probably have a fourth dimensional or fifth dimensional thickness to us, but it's the Planck length, so we wouldn't be able to detect it. Now, time. I have two different thoughts on this. Since time seems to operate the same, whether we're talking about the first, second, or third dimension, you know, I mean, the third dimension is made up of a bunch of two-dimensional planes. Those planes are made up of a bunch of one-dimensional lines, and then those lines are made up of a bunch of Planck-length points, or, you know, dots. It seems like, time isn't operating differently in all these second dimensions than it is in the collective third dimension. So part of me, strictly from physics, wants to say time would work the exact same in the fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, all the way up to 11 or 12, however many there are. And that could be, but it could also be that we have such a small subset to work with. We only have three out of who knows how many. In my book, my upcoming book, actually, Unraveling the Multiverse, I talk about I think there's probably 12 dimensions. If you count, there are 11 space-time dimensions in physics. They usually don't leave out the foundational zeroth dimension, which would be a point. So, you know, you got a point makes up a line, which is the first dimension. So, you know, if you consider a point and a line, technically, you sort of have two dimensions there. So 12 altogether. Beyond that, I have no idea. I mean, who knows? It could be that since we're only dealing with essentially one-fourth of the entire spectrum of dimensions, maybe it's too small of a subset to notice any kind of difference between the first, second, and third dimension. And maybe there are differences. Maybe time is more fluid the higher up you go, and it could be on an exponential curve to where once you get to the top, then it's like it's totally different. It could be something like that. But again, I mean, I would have to see any kind of change between the first, second, and third. So that's probably really convoluted, but I hope that at least helps. But I've wondered that too. And concerning the testimonies, Yeah, there are testimonies that seem that time works differently, but there are also testimonies that seem to say that it works exactly the way that we would expect it to, like the way that it does here on Earth. You know, when John was in Revelation, he witnessed a period of silence for about a half an hour. Now, of course, they didn't have clocks there, so I think that's what the about was, you know, but he still, it seemed like he was able to recognize time. All right. What's up? Hi, Scotty. Let's see. God bless you guys. Thank you. God bless you, too. Just looking through here, trying to get some more questions. We got a lot of comments, and thank you. Constructive criticism, yes. The enemy doesn't want unity in the body. That's absolutely correct. I agree. Fear, greed, unforgiveness are tools of the enemy. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good point. Let's see. I have to expect that I tried to talk to my 23-year-old son about these things, but he doesn't even believe God is real, let alone the supernatural aspect. All right, everybody, please help keep Anita's son in prayer over that. And if it's any consolation, I was young once too, and when I was that age, I was in New Age. So there's hope for anybody. Never seems to be enough of it, no matter what universe you're in. I agree. Love you both. Love you too. Thank you. God bless you too. 12 dimensions would fit. God seems very fond of 12 also in creation also. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that's another good point too. Prayer and scripture. Right, he had a rough or lost his dad. This is about the son. I'm sorry to hear that. I've raised him in my church. My dad is a retired minister. I don't understand why he doesn't believe, but I'll keep praying for him. And that's the best you can do. Put love first. And you know, hear him out, listen to his questions. If he has questions, handle everything in love. And it is tough having to grow up without a dad. I had to grow up like that too. It's not fun. I am 70 and watch you all on Skywatch all the time. Have learned a lot. God bless you. Thank you, Tiffany. God bless you too. It's glad to have you. We got another thank you. Okay. It looks like I'll give last call for questions. If there's any more questions, put them in the chat box right now. And if not, we'll probably wrap this up. But we got some exciting things coming up on Into the Multiverse and Skywatch TV. We have two episodes with Gary Bates that are actually taken from the extended episode. So if you saw the extended episodes, those will be kind of like reruns. But that's what goes out on the networks and on Roku and all of that. Mm-hmm. But we also have an upcoming episode with Dr. Michael Heiser and his view or perspective on the alien question, which is quite different than Gary's. Again, I'm not taking sides. I don't think either is right or wrong. I just don't get into all that. I like hearing out, you know, the options, weighing out the evidence, having good friends that know how to disagree and not let it become a personal problem. That's what I really like. So I like hearing all these guys out. And also because we love you guys and we think that you have brains of your own, we don't want to shield you from different points of view. You know, we want to expose you to them. And hearing somebody else's point of view is one of the best things you can do, because it will either strengthen the view that you already have and now you have some new reasons, you know, if you compare your view against somebody else, or maybe you'll change your mind. You know, maybe they'll bring up something that you haven't thought about before, and it'll get you thinking and studying more. So either way, whether somebody agrees with you or not, that can be a win-win situation for everybody involved. Do you think Andrew Bisaggio is telling the truth about his past? No.
that was easy.
Well, for those not familiar, he's a guy that says that he's like a time traveler. So it's a really interesting story. I love all these news articles that are like time traveler went to the future and says, I read those not because I believe them, but for entertainment value, because they're always a good story. Also, I always think that it's interesting that in the future, it's always a socialistic government, yet somehow they're able to make all these great advancements in technology.
Right, and that is an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's like where did the inspiration and competitiveness come from to create all these wonderful things?
Yeah.
But no, I don't believe he's telling the truth. I think he's either trolling people hardcore and he's having a good time, or he's just an outright liar. I don't know him. I've never met him, never talked to him. I've read some of his claims. I don't think that they fit, but that's just me. I mean, people might like him, and I can understand why. He's definitely tells an entertaining story. What is Thanksgiving? That was what this video was about. So if you start watching it from the beginning, you'll get that whole story. Can God's grace extend to people beyond the grave? From Romans 2, living the law when you don't have the law, I think there is thoughts. I think when somebody dies, their eternal fate is sealed one way or another. I don't think they have a chance to... I don't think there's anything stating that there's...
A purgatory of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think so.
Any chance of redemption after that. I think that's what this life is for. Okay. Love different points of view. Thank you, Michael. We do too. And let's see. I have a question. When sighting spring passed by Mars, its atmosphere went green. I witnessed this myself using my equipment. How do you think this happened? I'm not familiar with that, so I have no idea.
It's very fascinating how... cosmology is.
Yeah, I don't know what that's in reference to, but like we said, if we don't know something, we'll just tell you we don't know. Happy Thanksgiving and God bless. Got to go eat with the family. All right, you have fun. And tell everybody we said Happy Thanksgiving from Into the Multiverse and Skywatch TV. Thank you guys for exposing everyone to other views. It's helped me in my walk with Christ. Thank you. Good. It's helped me too, because it teaches us that our faith is on Jesus, not on just what doctrinal interpretations we happen to take. You know, our relationship with each other should be based on love, not on agreement on some point of non-salvational theology or something like that. So I like hearing out other people, and I'm glad that you do too. Susan is here. Susan Overcomer. Hey, how are you doing on Facebook listening? Hi, Susan. Frequent commenter. We always love, hearing your perspective. Glenn is saying, bless you both, Josh and Christina, as well as your family. Thank you for taking the time to do this today. Happy Thanksgiving. Nice shirt, Josh, wearing the same one. Hey, all right. Good deal. Juanita says, I agree. Just came in, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Tiffany. Jellicle Cat is saying, Happy Thanksgiving from Oklahoma. Happy Thanksgiving from Missouri. Thank you, guys. Lord bless. Lord bless you too. Amen. I just told my brother he needed to download the Skywatch News TV app. Absolutely. Yeah, we have an app. So if you go to the Skywatch TV app, you can find it in Google Play or your Apple Store, wherever you get your apps. Just put in Skywatch TV. It'll come right up, and you get everything Skywatch TV puts out, including Into the Multiverse. So I think that's a good plug for Into the Multiverse, probably a good jumping off point, because we have dinner to cook and kids to feed.
We've got
to
start roasting our potatoes and asparagus, because that turkey's going to be done in about 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. Autumn saying, Christina, you look beautiful with your hair pulled back. Thank Both you. Of you did an awesome job. Yeah, thank you. When does your new book release? Very soon. Very soon. I think the official date, well, isn't it December 1st or something like that?
I have no idea.
But I know.
I know it's on pre-order.
Yes. Go to skywatchtv.com or skywatchtvstore.com, and you can get it right now. And if you get it right now, you get a huge package with me and Derek's new book, The Day the Earth Stands Still.
You can order. You won't get it until we have it.
Right. It's a pre-order, so you'll get it later. But
you can order it.
In that comes my new book, Unraveling the Multiverse. You get a couple of Dr. Michael Heiser's books. Man, there's so much stuff packed in there. Never before seen interviews from people like the late Chris Putnam, Stan Deo, L.A. Marzulli, Chuck Missler, Joe Jordan. There's 12 different people that we interviewed, all with really interesting takes on the UFO alien abduction question. And so you'll get that. It's called Project Stargate, this big collection that we put together, never before released, and you won't get it anywhere else. You can't find it on Amazon or anything. What else is there? There's Official Disclosure, the audio series, with a bunch of interviews from people like that.
Yeah.
I might be missing something, but you'll be able to see it.
Michael Heiser's The Facade and
the Portent. Yeah. I'm probably leaving some stuff out, but it's the biggest deal of 2017. You'll want to pick this up, because I think it's probably going to sell out fast. It's already selling quite a bit. So while supplies last, all that will be available. Make sure you put in your pre-orders now, and it's very exciting stuff. Let's see. God bless you. So that's when the new book, you can pre-order now. It'll be officially released very, very soon. I can't wait to get my package and order from the website. Awesome. Dayton says sold. Good. God bless you both. God bless you too.
I'll be looking forward to your phone calls and emails.
Yes.
I work in the warehouse and, when I'm not doing this.
Yeah. So, And we want to thank you guys so much for joining us on this very special Into the Multiverse. We have not missed a single week since we started this show, and we did not want to start. We did not want to start today. So even though it's not an official episode, we tried. You know, we figured we'd do something kind of fun for you guys today. And so we thank you all so much for joining us. Somebody else is asking something that I have no idea what that is. Has Maury encouraged you to get
a pug?
Maury? Mm, oh, probably Mike. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not a dog person.
Tried it once. I was very pregnant. Could not walk that thing.
I will say, though, I like Derek.
It was a big one, though. It was a big dog.
I like Sam T. Dashhound a lot. I like Derek's dog, Derek and Sharon's Dashhound.
Pugs are small. And
He's been in the office a couple times, and he's adorable.
And is small. I like small dogs. Yeah, he's can take care of themselves.
He's been in the office a couple times. He's absolutely adorable and quiet, and his dog is really cute, too. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Thought I was talking about the dog. I was talking about Derek.
Yeah, I get it. Yes, I'm feeling much better, Susan. Sunday were really weird days. I was fine one moment, and then the next moment I was just sick, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was something I ate. Well, he was feeling pretty rotten, too, for a couple days.
Yeah, luckily the kids didn't get it, we're both feeling a lot better, so we're glad we...
I'm glad it's done and over with before Thanksgiving dinner, because that would just be depressing.
Awesome. And we got somebody else saying they ordered the Day the Earth Stands Still package. Awesome. Some other stuff about a dog.
A little
parrot. But anyway, so thank you all again so much. This is probably like the fifth time I've tried to close it out. You guys keep typing stuff, and I love that, and it's inspiring me to keep wanting to talk. We're going to have to do more of these.
We will.
We'll do more live videos because this is a lot of fun. Thanks for your labor. It doesn't even feel like work. We just love doing it. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.
Bye, guys.